It is good to be with you. My name is Craig Gates, a graduate of Vesterburg High School, way back when. Some of you I recognize and know, others, as I'm looking through your bulletin flyer there, lots of names that are not familiar to me anymore. And so maybe you do not know me. My wife Rhonda is here with me. Our four boys have grown, and most of them have left the house and returned once or twice. And I arrived back from the Yucatan on Tuesday night and drove Wednesday to Washington, D.C., picked up one son that was there with another son that we had moved out there in August, September, and drove back with him by way because he had gone from Texas there. So it made it a 9-hour drive instead of a 20-hour drive to pick him up and all his stuff. And so now we have a son back in the house again. So it is good to be here. It's been a whirlwind. And then this morning, I appreciate Betsy being available this morning and helping out with the past couple months of organizing. I couldn't give her a date when I could come and speak. I had like too many things going on at once. I couldn't commit. And so she was very patient and very good. You guys should be proud of the work that she's doing. And this morning I needed a shirt, and at the last minute, because of some tire issues, and that was all taken care of. Thank you, Josh, also, for that. It wasn't her shirt, it was his shirt. So. But I knew that I had communicated with her, so I had all her information to connect with. This year of 2017, my sermon series, I'm in and out of Mexico and the Yucatan, has been about habits. In 2016, we talked we had our conferences we did with leadership training were spiritual habits, that things that we can do that help our life with God, our spiritual life, you know, the basic ones of praying and meditating, scriptures, fasting. You know, there's like 12, 15, depends who you talk to, different spiritual habits that you can have. And there's some good books out there that you can read. But I got thinking, you know, there are simple habits that we can do in our daily life that assist or help our witness of God. And what that means is our witness is, when people see us, they are drawn to know God better by what they see happening in our lives. And so there, I got thinking and reaching out to different people, what are things that we can do in our lives that help other people see God? Not because of who we are, but what they see God doing in our lives. That's the witnessing part. And so there are habits, and we started out with ones like memorizing scripture, and that sounds like more like a spiritual habit. But that's a simple habit because God speaks through his word. And it talks about that God, or Jesus was talking about the destroying the temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And the disciples heard that, but they didn't really understand it until after the resurrection. It says then they understood the words that he had spoken. And so 2 to 3 years after he had spoken those words, they finally were able to understand what he was talking about. God spoke through his word. It wasn't revealed to them at that time, but if they had not memorized what Jesus had said or guarded those words on their hearts and minds, God would not have maybe spoken to them at that time. So we know that memorizing or gaining memory or scripture to ourselves helps us when in our daily life, because God is able to do things at those moments. Scripture comes to mind. We're able to remember such things. And that's important. We talked this year I talked about kindness, hospitality, you know, you might call it fellowship dinner. I call it a hospitality meal because you open it to everybody, right? It's not just a few. All right. I want to make sure it wasn't just like for the Sisters of Service or something like that, that we're going to be able to eat. But there are things that we can do in our lives that people notice and that should, by doing them and by habitually doing them, give witness to who God is and what he's doing in our lives. And today I'd like to talk about one that maybe we only think about as being an evangelist, but it's the sowing of the seed. Sowing of the word, the parable. Most of the time, Jesus explains it. We don't get too involved with who the sower is. Jesus doesn't explain it. It doesn't really describe the preparation. I know I'm in a rural area right now, and many of you might be growers of, I have a humongous, that size right there, garden in my backyard, and so I'm preparing the soil is important. It doesn't talk anything about doing that here in this parable that we find in Luke chapter 8. It's sowing the seed, sowing the word. And Jesus talks about how the seed or the word is sown on four different types of soil and how it is accepted or received. And so it's really important, I think, that as Christians, we learn the habit of sowing the word, because that's the purpose of what Jesus brings out here. Evangelism is important, bringing people to Christ, being efficient. Your service this morning has been very very enjoyable to sit in. During the Sunday school presentation, they have the screen in the back. These are things that are techniques or things that we can use that are beneficial. They really help us out. But the sowing of the word is something that needs to be on a daily basis. And it's not just through preaching, and it's not just through teaching. There are other things that we can do in a habit form that does that. And first, I think we need to understand that the power of the word. If you look through the word in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, I don't know if Betsy has that newfangled, click on it and the scripture pops up on the screen for you, but Isaiah, I challenged her right there. Nope, she's shaking her head no. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. Some do that, and I never know. So like, I'll say a scripture, and all of a sudden it pops up there. But I hear your pages ruffling, so you're looking. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven," we're not wanting snow anytime soon yet, "and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." God is trying to tell us that when we sow seed, when we sow the word of God, it is going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And so the first thing we need to understand about the word of God is that it is powerful, and God will do with it what he wants to do with it. And we don't have to worry about necessarily the dressing of it, or how it the preparation, or where it's being sown. What we need to understand is that, first of all, it is very powerful. It's all powerful, and it will get done what God wants to get done. And so once we understand that speaking about the word of God or sowing the word wherever we are will accomplish what God wants, it relieves us of the pressure of feeling like we need to do something else and to occupy our time with all the little details sometimes of stuff that takes up most of our time, and maybe the word gets lost. So the word is all powerful, but we also understand that the word needs to be pure. We can't just sow any type of word. It needs to be the word of God. We need to hold to the word of God. It needs to be pure, and it needs to be that seed that we're sowing. Because a lot of times we like to sow the seeds of opinion. We like to sow the seeds of our own personal thoughts. We like to sow the idea of what benefits me a little bit more than you sometimes. It boils back to getting, our habit needs to be of sowing the word of God. And there's lots of ways you can do that. I'm not trying to get into the too much practice. I'm going to throw that at the leaders here. You guys can worry about that later. But the word can do what God wants it to do, and it will do what it needs to do. And then when we sow the word, that's what we need to understand. I'm sowing the word, and God is going to do what he needs to do with that. So that's important for us to understand right from the beginning. We can look at Romans 1:16, where it talks about the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I could impress you and say this verse in Mayan, but there's no translator here. And so my tongue would be on deaf ears. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Shall live by the word, but live by understanding. There is power in that. Now, we also need to understand about the sowers. It doesn't say anything here about what's happening. Now, if you look at the four, back in Luke chapter 8, if you look at the four types of soil, we all know that there's the hard ground that's considered like the road, where it's just cast on hard trodden road, and the birds come and take it away, right? And we know that the word is sown amongst the rocks, but there's a little bit of soil there, so it sprouts, but there's not enough there to maintain it, and it withers and dies because it's just too dry to maintain anything there. The word is sown amongst the weeds or the just soil, everything else is out there. And so it grows, but you know as well as I do, as I return back from Mexico this time, the weeds in my yard look really good right now because it hasn't rained very much. And so it's green. But if you look really close, it's all the clover and this weird stuff that's all taken over. And the grass underneath it's kind of yellow because the ground's hard. And so the weeds grow faster. The worries of the world are moving faster and quicker than sometimes faith is in our lives. And so we get so preoccupied with what's going on around us that faith is weakened and we fall away, right? And then there's the fourth soil, which the seed falls upon. It's fertile, it's good soil. It produces 30, 60, 100%. And the other parables, it talks about how things are produced. And as we see that there's great production from that sown. And so who receives the blame for 3 out of 4? Because the guy's just haphazardly throwing stuff? No. The sower doesn't receive any blame for that. The soil isn't to blame. The sower is not to blame. And the type of soil is the blame. Some places, when you speak the word of God, is not going to be received. There are parts in the world where you can speak up about Jesus Christ, and it will fall on deaf ears. When you are visiting a home and the person that you're speaking to has been on a binge for 6 days and the alcohol or the drugs are still pretty prevalent in the system, speaking a word of God probably will not be beneficial in the long run tomorrow. They're not going to remember. There are things that need to be done at that moment in time. I'm not saying that. And there's not that kindness doesn't need to be shown at any of these instances, but it's not going to be accepted. Or sometimes when we sow the seed, people are going to accept the word. They're really excited about it, but it doesn't really last. And so what we do sometimes, well, we're going to have a baptism preparation course. We want you to take this course for a year, decide whether you will be able to survive as a Christian before you're actually baptized. You ever heard of those type of things? You know, confirmation, all that kind of stuff. We kind of go through that. Well, we hear that excuse from people too. I don't know, I believe, but I don't think I could really live a Christian life, and so I don't, I want to wait and see. Tom, how many people have you seen that have waited and see and been successful? No. It's just soil that's just going to get worried about the world and you're going to disappear, right? The things going on in our lives are now. Salvation still seems so far away. But God is going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish when we sow the word. And it's important that we understand that. When I'm talking to people about evangelism, I like to say, I really don't care if a young man is attending church because there's a good-looking girl in church. He's coming because, you know, he likes this girl. He knows her from school or from the neighborhood. And so he's attending church only because she's here at church. I really don't care that that's the reason that he gets here. Because once he's here, the only responsibility I have is to make sure that the word is sown to him and that he's receiving some of that word. Because I don't know who's going to water it. I don't know who's going to cultivate it. And I don't know when the harvest is going to come. But that harvest will come. And God will accomplish what he needs to accomplish in that word. And so the sowing part is my responsibility and your responsibility. And we need to find ways that we can creatively sow God's word in our daily lives. The smile, the handshake, the helping, the hospitality, the kindness, all of the fruit of the Spirit. There are things that we can be doing in our lives where the word will be sown. And God will be witnessed. That's important to me. There was a man, I just had sat down with him at last Sunday in church in Merida. For years and years, his wife was coming to church. They started attending, and the daughter and the son were baptized. And he would attend once in a while. He was a carpenter. He'd help us with projects. But he was just not there. And years would go by, and years went by, and just could not, you know, on Saturday night, Craig, I'm ready. I want to be baptized. Sunday, well, what are you waiting for? Let's do it now. No, tomorrow at church. Tomorrow at church, time of invitation, nothing would happen. Just wasn't there. Or he wouldn't come to church. You know, he'd go visit mom or something. And for years and years went by, and he did not accept Jesus Christ. Earlier this year, he had a brain aneurysm and was bleeding. And, you know, generally that is not something you recover from, especially in third world countries. But he was in the hospital in an induced coma, and basically... I figured he waited too long. It's lost. Baptized this summer. Recovered enough. Paralyzed on one side still. Recovered. Was helped down into the waters. Was baptized. People said, well, you know, it's only because he had this situation in his life. No, that's has nothing to do with who am I to judge his reason why he's coming to the Lord? He's confessing Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The word was sown, it's been watered, and now he's come to the point. Yes, he was scared. Yes, he saw some into of his life at a time, but he has been granted grace, and he's still alive, and he still has breath to speak that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. and he came forward, I wasn't going to be able to be there. Somebody else baptized him. Not that it would have made any difference, because the Spirit's the same Spirit. The Lord is the same Lord. And the word that was spoken brought him up out of the waters into newness of life. And then he was sitting there talking to me as we were enjoying our meal after church together for a moment of time. We do not know. I thought he was never. He had separated from his wife. Rumors of all sorts of things going on in his life. He was out of the picture. He was gone. All that sowing was gone. And he came to the Lord. I used to use the illustration of Donna McNerney, who you've known over the years from up here at Vesterburg, and Bob. Bob was a crusty old guy, for if those of you knew him. And Tom and I ran around together, and it was not always a lot of fun to be in the house when he came home from work. So we'd always try to get away before he came home from work, because he was just an ornery guy, you know. And he was the furthest guy that I thought would ever come to the Lord. And then years later, when I'm in the Yucatan, I hear the story that Mr. McNerney was baptized into the Lord and was attending church. Was just mind-blowing to me, because that's the power of the word sown and God acting in time. We might not be the person that's always sowing it, but we might be the person watering it. We might not always be the person that's there when the harvest happens, but we might be the person there. There was somebody, and I thank the Lord that there was somebody there in these people's lives to meet the need when the situation arose, when understanding through the Spirit and the power of the Word became part of their lives. And if we think back to most of us, our lives, most of us came to that moment where we understood. To me, it was the prodding of my mother. I was sitting back in a pew, almost to the back, in a Sunday night at the end of some kind of a activity or revival. And like four or five people went forward. I was sitting there. I don't know what my mom saw, but at this church, they had a basement that you'd go down and you could walk around, and then you came up into the office area in the back where the baptism was going to be. My mom leaned over and goes, "Why don't you go downstairs, go around to the back, and tell your dad what you're feeling?" It's like, what? How did you? I hadn't expressed that. And so that prodding, I went downstairs, walked around to the back, came upstairs, walked into my dad's office, getting ready for the baptistry, and he says, "What would you like?" I said, I want to be baptized. So he took my confession, my faith, and I was baptized into the Lord that night. Never know where the word is going to be sown. My mom spoke the word at that time. Yes, word had been sown many years before that. Yes, I grew up in a Christian home. I had parents that believed in Jesus Christ. Your story might be a little different, but there are people that have been sowing and watering for years in your lives. If you're not at that point where you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you need to think about and reflect about, who is this Jesus? Maybe you need to get up close to somebody that you think knows a little bit about the word and ask them, "Tell me a little bit more about this." Maybe you need to refine your understanding by having the scriptures opened up to you so you understand and you can make a choice in your life. God is speaking. God is moving. And I think a habit that we have in our life needs to be that we sow the word. In 1 Corinthians, I've been kind of alluding to it, chapter 3. In this world, it's a strange thing when petty jealousies and conflicts happen in our lives, you know. It's funny how, we belong to You know, I've always known of Ferris and Vesterberg, and we've always, the youth groups when I grew up were always in exchange, and we're always there. And I never felt there was like a competition. But in some parts of the world, there's these little bitter politic things that are going on, like that keep people away. And it says in verse 5-7 of 1 Corinthians 3, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." So we need to understand, as sowers of the word, we're not really big stuff. But we're important to do what God wants us to do. And let God do it. Sometimes people ask me, what's the hardest thing to do on the mission field? And I say it's humility. Because if I wanted to, I could be the awe in the churches. They're not going to paint the bathroom until I tell them what color to paint. They're not even going to buy the toilet paper. I tell them what kind of toilet paper I want in the bathroom. That's the way it could be. It's not that way. No, it's not that way. But it could be that way. Why? Because people do that. And so one of the difficulties in life is to understand who we really are. I am just a sower, and God is doing the work. And so it's important for me to understand that I am nothing, but I am useful. And I am important in God's eyes, but my scheme of salvation is just as a tool, not for the finality of it. I bring no salvation. God brings the salvation. And I am responsible for a part of speaking that word. Each one of us here have a way that we can be sowing the word of God. And it's not always, like I said, the preaching, the teaching, and carrying our Bible. And well, you know, we carry it on our phone anyways. That was one of my things. I don't know how many, most of you have Life Bible app on your phones. You can use your earphones. You know, you don't travel by buses here, but in Merida we travel by buses around town. And everybody has the headsets in. And I tell the youth especially, you need to have the app because it reads to you. Instead of just listening to music, sometimes you need to take it off and talk to the person next to you, first of all. But also, you need to be listening to something that's beneficial. You can put in Colossians chapter 1, click the button, and it starts reading. Just like the old days, you know, you had your Walkmans and your Discmans, and you put in the Bible. You know, some of you are smiling because you had those whole big cases of cassettes in your house that you'd try to listen to, but it wasn't convenient. It has become so, it gets easier and easier. Now you just have to make it a habit in your life to apply it so God's word is there, so when the time comes, you're able to sow it. You're able to share it. And who are we? It says, but each one, it says here, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. The important part here of the habit of sowing is just to sow. Well, they're never going to accept. Just sow the word. Get the word out there. Show the fruit of the Spirit. Live the life that God has put before you in a way that one day, through the watering of somebody else, that person will accept Jesus Christ. We do not know when we are going to recover from a brain aneurysm and have a second chance to step forward and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to persevere in it. We need to look for it. We need to find creative ways to interject the Word of God in our daily lives so that other people are seeing it. We need to understand that it's not a failure of us if people aren't coming to Jesus Christ. Sometimes the soil is just not the right soil. It's not saying that soil can't be prepared. It can't become improved. But the idea here that I'm not going to get too far off into the realms of over explaining this parable is the idea that we need to sow and let God work. The right perspective is to remain positive, to look for the eventual success, to look for ways that we can apply the Word of God in our lives. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What you do in the name of the Lord is not in vain. Like I mentioned during Sunday school, groups come down and they want to know what great things they're going to do for the Lord. You know, sometimes after the day's work, after they've worked and sweated and really done, worked hard for them in concrete, they want to say, "Well, look at what great things we did for the people down here." I said, "Yeah, but unless you laid the word of the Lord before them, this concrete, these buildings, one day are going to be of no use. When Jesus comes, we don't need this anymore. While we're here, we're going to use this. We're going to take care of it. We're going to do what we need to do. But what's important is the eternal word of God being sown so that God can accomplish what he needs to accomplish in people." You know, don't get me wrong. The building is important, and the things that we do physically are important. Keeping care of ourselves is important. But just being healthy doesn't get us salvation. And just building a hospital for somebody doesn't bring them Jesus Christ. It's important, and we do it. Just offering a meal is important. It feels a need at that time. But unless the eternal word of God is part of that, eternity is off the books for that person. And the eternal part is what we're working with. That is important. God bless you. Care for you and watch over you. May your home and your family and your community be one where Jesus Christ is shown until his return. God bless you, and I thank you so much for your continued help. And I'll turn it over to the elder that